1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 8 says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Now, while some people don't seem to care either way, which is also an erroneous point of view, every year, particularly when the weather starts to improve, when things start to heat up, it gets warmer outside, there's a social put and prioritization of physical appearance and well-being. And while caring for one's body is not wrong, nor without benefit in this life, we are mistaken if we believe that our spiritual condition should suffer for our physical advantage. While both spiritual and physical health are important, our spiritual health should always take the priority. If you have to choose one over the other, we should definitely opt for the spiritual benefits, for practicing spiritual disciplines over physical ones. And so I want to look at three considerations when making health decisions in a message that I've entitled Healthy Priorities. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for this day. Thank you for those that came out this evening. And Lord, I pray that, again, we pray, Lord, that you'll be with Pastor. And Lord, we pray for his health to improve. And we pray, Lord, that we'll get to see him here again soon. And Lord, continue to learn from him and the church that you've called him to found, Lord, and to pastor. And Lord, we pray that as we meet here, you'll have something for us. And pray the Holy Spirit will speak to each and every one of us. And Lord, help us to consider honestly our priorities, the things that we choose to do. And I pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. So we'll look at three considerations when making health decisions. Now, this isn't, you know, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not an EMT. I'm not a nurse. So I can't tell you about an abundance of health issues. I'm talking just about the difference between spiritual health and physical health, and what the Apostle Paul here wrote to Timothy in this passage and how that relates to it. Now, this is more of a topical message, so I have a number of verses that I want to look at. I like to do the expository stuff where I stay in one passage and we just talk it through as much as we can in the time that we have. That's not the way this one's going to work. I'm not going to flip to all the different verses that I want to look at. I have written them down here beside my sermon notes. So you can write them down. You can look at them if you like. You can trust me if you want. I mean, however you want to do that. But I'm going to bring in information from other passages that I'm not necessarily going to take the time to flip to. And so we're going to look at these considerations in that way. So three considerations when making health decisions. And the first thing we need to consider when choosing, well, are we going to prioritize our physical health or our spiritual health in any given situation, is we have to consider the fact that our bodies are dirt. Dirt of the ground. It's important to remember what our bodies are and what they are destined for when setting our priorities. When you're going to invest your time and your money and your effort into something, be it your spiritual or your physical, you have to consider what exactly you're throwing your time and your money and your effort at. An emphasis on the physical carries only minor benefit. It says there in verse 8, "For bodily exercise," bodily referring to your physical form, of course, "exercise profiteth little." Exercise here refers to engage in physical exercise as a means of improving the body. It has an idea of focused effort on improving your body's physical health or its physical appearance. I took kinesiology in grade 12, one of the few courses in high school that I was actually interested in, because that's just something that intrigued me. And, you know, I didn't care for English or math or science or really anything, really. But I got to grade 12, and this kinesiology course came up where you got to study the human body. And I really think I took it because there was a whole unit in it on sports injuries where you got to look at pictures of athletes hurting themselves, and I thought that was intriguing. But we learned in that class that there's basically five areas of physical fitness that your body's comprised of. There's your muscular strength, which is how much you can move with any muscle group on a one-time basis. You know, how much can you do one time as your max? You hear a lot about in exercise science, well, what is your max, you know, for your bench press? What can you bench one time? Can you do 400 pounds? Can you do 225? And you see a lot of that when the NFL prospects come out, they start testing their muscular strength. There's your muscular endurance. How many times can you repeat a weighted action with your using your muscles? How many times can you do things? Can you only lift something once? Can you do 50 pounds 80 times? Can you do, well, how much can you sustain all day? How much rigorous exercise can you sustain all day? There's your cardiovascular endurance, which is usually improved by, you know, people running, which I really don't personally care for. You like it. Fun. Okay? I hate running, but it has the idea of how effective your heart is at transferring nutrients to different parts of your body, and it has to do with getting oxygen to your body, getting nutrients to your muscles so that you can continue action. How long can you endure the stress? There's flexibility, which is how far you can, you know, reach. What's your range of motion? I don't care for stretching either. My wife likes to stretch. We do two different things. When she says she's going to exercise, she stretches. And when I say I'm going to exercise, I watch TV. Okay, that's pretty much how that goes. Okay, but that's flexibility. And then the one that most people are interested in is the fifth area is body composition. They say, well, what is, when you look at your body, we break down the ratios, how much fat versus how much muscle you have. You know, what are your proportions, okay? Do you have love handles hanging off you? Do you have too much under your neck? Are your thighs too big? You know, whatever. How do you measure out? How do you meet out? How do you look in the mirror? People are interested in, well, I want to know what my body's composed of. I want to be able to look, you know, a certain way. And sometimes those things in our lives become more important than spiritual things in our lives. People intentionally put in great effort to improve one or more of these areas. And that's for a variety of reasons. It can be for athletic performance. You know, there are people who, you know, they're the way they make money, the way the bread gets on their table, you know, the way they earn, they fill the gas tank on their Lamborghini is they play sports. Okay, that's what they do, and so it's important for them to stay in shape to do that. Some people, they play rec level sports, and they wanna do it, and they'd be better at it. So that's what motivates them to exercise. Athletic performance. There's also social appeal. You know, when I walk by, I want those people to whistle and hoot at me. You know, every year it starts to warm up, and all of a sudden, oh, it's bikini season. Eat yogurt. You always see some lady eating yogurt, having a great time. And I don't know why those take more than one scoop to eat, but they do. And I'll premise that with this. I don't think there should be a bikini season, okay? I don't think that's okay. I mean, what you choose to do, what you encourage other people to do, that'll come down to what you're willing to answer to the Lord for. But that is a reason why people are concerned about training their bodies. There's also just improved health. You know, people just, they're worried. Maybe they've had a health issue in the past. Maybe they've had a heart attack. Maybe they're trying to avoid something that plagues their family. They want to avoid osteoporosis. They want to make sure they can continue to function and be healthy. And so they'll put in the effort to take care of their bodies. Now, it is beneficial. It says right in the passage, verse 8, that it profiteth. Taking care of your body, taking care of your health is beneficial when undertaken properly. YouTube is full of videos of people exercising wrong. If you have a really morbid sense of humor and you want to entertain yourself for a while, go on YouTube and watch videos people have taken of other people at the gym exercising wrong and hurting themselves and setting themselves back. Some people are concerned about their body composition and they go about getting a certain appearance wrong. They get eating disorders. You know, they're bulimic, they're anorexic. And that's wrong. That's not okay either. But it can be beneficial. But that benefit is relatively small. It says it profiteth little, which refers to being of a relatively small quantity when compared to another thing mentioned. When compared with an emphasis on godliness, the physical emphasis pays minuscule dividends for two reasons. The first one is, our bodies are made of dirt. That's what your body is. Okay? It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." It says in Psalm 103:14, it says, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." The word dust refers to loose earth or soil. God made us, says right in the creation account, he took dirt and he formed the first person. Now it discusses in the Psalm that since then, we've all been, our basic element that we're comprised of is dirt. Man is immediate creation. God didn't say, "Let there be humans," and they were there. No, he took careful time to make us of the elements of creation, of the ground. We're made from the earth. We're made up of the elements of creation. And so when people come along, scientists come along, and they say, "Well, we're 93% like this, and we're 87% like this." And well, maybe, yeah, because we came from the earth. Why would we not share certain characteristics with it? But we're ultimately made of dirt. Second of all, our bodies, which are made of dirt, will become dirt again. Genesis 3:19 says, after the fall of man, when God's pronouncing his punishment, it says, "In the sweat of thy face, shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, from dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." It says in Ecclesiastes 12:7, "When then shall the dust return to the earth as it was?" Our bodies are made of the elements of creation. They're made of dirt, of dust, okay, ultimately. And at some point, they're going to turn back into that. Ever since the curse of sin took hold of mankind, our bodies have been doomed to be temporary. Now consider this. Like a car, your body is doomed to depreciate. You can fight it all you like, but you will eventually, and slowly, maybe quickly, you will eventually decay and break down, and your functions will slow down, and eventually you'll just fail to work as a system. As we slowly make our way back to being that which we were created out of. And any responsibilities that you now carry you'll eventually have replaced by a younger and stronger body belonging to someone else. You won't always be capable of doing what you're doing. I won't always be able to work in the factory making Gen Air handles for fridges. Eventually, I will be physically incapable of doing that. Sometimes I wish that's how it was right now, but so it is. Eventually, I won't be able to do that anymore. Therefore, it is foolish to overinvest in our physical form. To put too much time and money into our bodies doesn't make sense, because they're temporary. Okay? Now, we need to take care of ourselves. But we need to do it in light of the reality that our bodies are temporal and temporary. Okay? There is a lot of ugly in the world. Okay? And if no one in here contributed to that, that would be fantastic. Okay? But we have to consider the fact, you know, how much do we put into this thing? Because it's not going to last. There can be an overemphasis on the physical and being concerned about the physical. Dust of the ground. The second thing we need to consider is the direction of the ghost. The body is a temporary holding area for the more important spiritual part of us. It says there in the bottom of verse 4, it says, "But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is," our temporal physical life, "and of that which is to come." There is a life beyond your current physical life. There is a life beyond your current temporary bodily existence that we need to look forward to. And godliness contributes to both. Godliness, the word itself, refers to appropriate beliefs and devout practice of obligations relating to supernatural persons and powers. The idea of being godly means to do right by God and other people because it is the right thing to do. It means having your mind, your motivation, focused on doing that which is right by God and by others because it's the right thing to do. It's not doing it because, oh, Mom said I have to do this, or I'm getting dragged out to church, or I have to put money in the offering plate. It's, you know what? That is what the Lord says we're supposed to do, so that's what we're going to do. That is what it says in the Bible we're supposed to do as far as treating other people. That's what we're supposed to do. In James 1:27, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep unspotted from the world. Now, where it says religion in that passage is the same word as where it says godliness right here. Pure religion, pure godliness, and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to do right by other people. We don't just forget about other people. We got to do right by them. We got to be concerned about them. We have to take care of other people. And to keep unspotted from the world. Stay away from sin. Do what's right before God. That's what godliness is. It means to be not to be driven by selfishness, but to live altruistically according to the teachings of Scripture. That's what godliness refers to. And while physical improvement is predominantly beneficial for this life, godly living is beneficial both now and in eternity. It says in 1 Timothy 6:6 and 7, godliness, again, same word, godliness and contentment is great gain. For we have brought nothing into this world, it is certain we can carry nothing out. All the stuff that we have in this world, okay, all the toys, all the real estate, all the vehicles, okay, all the money, all the work we do on our own bodies, it's gone. We can't take it with us. Now, if you have stuff, fantastic. I'm really glad you have stuff. You drive a better car than maybe I do. You have a big house. You get to go on vacation. Fine. Great. I'm happy for you. Okay? That's not a problem. That's fantastic. But at the end of the day, all that stuff, we're all level. We all end up turning into the same powder. It says in, again, the second half of Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth of the ground as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Our spiritual side doesn't just disappear. It's not like when the story ends of our physical life, we just go into some sort of sleep and we're just gone. Our spirit separates. We come out, our bodies go back to the ground where they came from, and the spirit goes back to God where it came from. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Our tenure here in these physical bodies, whether you like yours or not, is temporary. The amount of work you and me put into it, trying to take care of it, trying to feed it properly, trying to make it look good when we look in the mirror, it's all temporary. We will continue to exist in the spiritual realm after our bodies are dead. It makes far more sense to live in recognition of the impending eternity than focusing on this life completely. Everything we accumulate in this life will ultimately be lost. We're going to spend a lot more time out there than we're going to spend here. A lot more time out there. The question is, do our choices reflect that? Do we live in recognition of the fact that we're going to spend, you know, eternity elsewhere, one way or the other? Or are we just so consumed with living this life and being happy and enjoying what we're doing here and having experiences that we ultimately sacrifice, you know, any thought of what's going to come afterwards? Is our only investment in eternity, you know, sitting in a pew listening to someone? Like, I hope not. Do we give God, what, 5 minutes of prayer and then go exercise for 2 hours? Do we spend more time looking in the Scripture than we do looking in the mirror? Do our choices reflect that? So we have the dirt of the ground. We have the direction of the ghost, what's going to ultimately happen spiritually. And then to put it all together, we have the desire of God in verse 7. It says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." In the passage, Timothy is a young pastor, and he's being instructed by his mentor, Paul, on how to carry out the pastoral ministry. And in this passage, he's telling him, listen, there's all that stuff that those people are saying, don't worry about any of that. Focus on being godly. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. We are to focus on improving ourselves spiritually more than physically. Our prayer time should matter more than our push-ups. Our devotions should matter more than our diet. Our meditation should matter more than our muscles or what we see in the mirror. Our Bible reading should matter more than our beach body. Okay? Our fasting should matter more than our face. Practicing a spiritual discipline, whatever it is, should matter more than our physical improvement. Because doing one reverberates off into eternity. The other one only matters now for a short period of time. Taking care of our bodies and being healthy is important. And let me just say again, there is absolutely nothing wrong with looking good. Nothing wrong with it, as long as we keep modesty in mind. Okay, that's guys and girls. I think we missed the male element of that too. There's nothing wrong with looking good. There's nothing wrong with, you know, if you can afford it, wearing, you know, name brand stuff, being trendy, as long as you stay, you know, within the realm of what is permitted by Scripture. There's nothing wrong with those things. Those things aren't evil. I'm not saying we should all go out, you know, and dress Amish. I never said that. But we must not overemphasize the physical over the spiritual. If we have to choose between one or the other, man, I'm spending too much time exercising. I have no time to read my Bible. Well, you need to switch that up. While beautifying and caring for our bodies is neither wrong nor without benefit, our decisions regarding how much time and effort we spend on our temporal selves should be made based on the fact that our bodies will deteriorate. No amount of makeup, no amount of surgery, no amount of exercise, no nothing will fix that. And that our spirits will pass into eternity, one way or the other. And that ultimately, God desires for us to focus on our spiritual development. Exercise thyself unto godliness. We must make sure that we have the proper health priorities. You know what? Any time, disaster can strike. Anytime. At any time, the rapture could occur. Wouldn't it be hilarious if you are this close to meeting your fitness goal and you get raptured? Or you go into the bathroom, ladies, to do whatever you do in there for 40 or 50 minutes before any social event, and right as you finish up, you get raptured. There. Well, I'm glad you spent the time. What could all that time we're spending on ourselves that's over and above what's necessary be used for? What could we have been doing? Could we have been praying, or, you know, could we have been evangelizing, you know, sharing the gospel? What could we have been doing? It's important to be healthy. It's important to take care of yourself. You get one body in life. And if you work in a physical environment, you need to take care of yourself so you can continue to work in that physical environment. To keep up with your children. I got one guy at my workplace, he never took care of himself. He was a chain smoker like crazy. Then he had a heart attack. He was out of work for a while. He came back. Now he's very concerned about his health. I think he waited a little too long to become concerned about it. He sees the benefit of it now. But the problem, I don't think he's saved. He can be concerned about it as much as he likes. He's fighting a losing battle. And then what happens when his spirit passes on and his body returns to the dust? We have to look at things in the greater picture. Eternity is a long time. Our lives are not. And we have to make sure that we have the proper health priorities.